You sent for me, Uncle.
Yes, I did, Wormwood. Do come in.
Oh. Well, what is this?
I've arranged to give you a demonstration.
Oh.
Yes, the rather contemptuous way in which you spoke of gluttony as a means of catching souls in your last report showed me, yet again, how ignorant you are.
How so?
One of the great achievements of the last 100 years has been to deaden the human conscience on the subject of gluttony, so that by now you will hardly find a sermon preached or a conscience troubled about it in the whole length and breadth of Europe. This has largely been effected by concentrating all our efforts on gluttony of delicacy, not gluttony of excess. By way of example, I invite you to turn your attention to this record of your patient's mother on the screen.
Good afternoon, madam. Table for two, is it?
No, just for one.
So these images came from Glubbo's?
Indeed, at my request. Your patient's mother is a good example of using gluttony for our purposes. She would be astonished, one day I hope will be, to learn that her whole life is enslaved to this kind of sensuality, which is quite concealed from her by the fact that the quantities involved are small. But what do quantities matter, provided we can use a human belly and palate to produce querulousness, impatience, uncharitableness, and self-concern? Glubbo's has this old woman well in hand.
You surprise me.
Indeed. You are in sorry shape when I have to use Glubbo's as a good example by which to teach you.
I'm willing to learn.
Then see for yourself. Your patient's mother is a positive terror to hostesses and servants. Here it is. Notice on the screen, the woman at an otherwise civil little tea party.
Would madam like the afternoon special?
Oh, please, please. All I want is a cup of tea. Weak, but not too weak. And the teeniest, weeniest bit of really crisp toast.
Yes, madam.
You see? Because all she wants is smaller and less costly than what has been set before her, she never recognizes as gluttony her determination to get what she wants, however troublesome it may be to others. At the very moment of indulging her appetite, she believes she's practicing temperance. Here she is, exhibiting the same behavior in a crowded restaurant.
Here we are.
Oh, that's far, far too much. Take it away and bring me about a quarter of it.
Yes, madam.
If challenged, she would say she was doing this to avoid waste. In reality, she does it because the particular shade of delicacy to which we have enslaved her is offended by the sight of more food than she happens to want.
Impressive.
The real value of the quiet, unobtrusive work which Glubbo's has been doing for years on this old woman can be gauged by the way in which her belly now dominates her whole life. The woman is in what may be called the all-I-want state of mind.
All I want is a cup of tea properly made, or an egg properly boiled, or a slice of bread properly toasted.
But she never finds any servant or any friend who can do these simple things properly, because her properly conceals an insatiable demand for the exact and almost impossible palatal pleasures which she imagines she remembers from the past. A past described by her as...
Oh, those were the days when you could get good service from the help.
But, of course, they are known to us as the days when her senses were more easily pleased and she had pleasures of other kinds which made her less dependent on those of the table. Meanwhile, the daily disappointment produces daily ill temper. Cooks give notice and friendships are cooled. If ever the enemy introduces into her mind a faint suspicion that she's too interested in food, Glubbo's counters it by suggesting to her that she doesn't mind what she eats herself, but does like to have things nice for her boy. In fact, of course, her greed has been one of the chief sources of his domestic discomfort for many years.
Yes, I know.
Now, your patient is his mother's son. while working your hardest, quite rightly, on other fronts, you must not neglect a little quiet infiltration in respect of gluttony. Being a male, he is not so likely to be caught by the all-I-want camouflage. Males are best turned into gluttons with the help of their vanity. To think they know all about food, and not only food, but the best food. Watch your patient.
Well, it's true. It's the only restaurant in town where the steaks are properly cooked.
What begins as vanity can then be gradually turned into habit. But however you approach it, the great thing is to bring him into the state in which the denial of any one indulgence, it matters not which, champagne or tea, or sole colbert or cigarettes, annoys him, for then his charity, justice, and obedience are all at your mercy.
I never would have thought.
That much is obvious to me. Mere excess in food is much less valuable than delicacy. Its chief use is a kind of artillery preparation for attacks on chastity. On that, as on every other subject, keep your man in a condition of false spirituality. Never let him notice the physical aspect. Keep him wondering which vice has delivered him into your hands, when a simple inquiry into what he has been eating or drinking for the last 24 hours would show him the truth. If he must think of the physical side of chastity, feed him the grand lie which we have made the humans believe, that physical exercise in excess and consequent fatigue are especially favorable to this virtue. How they can believe this in the face of the notorious lustfulness of sailors and soldiers may well be asked.
Speaking of chastity, Uncle, I've been wanting to ask you about techniques regarding sexual temptation. Or would you have me speak with Globos about it, since she seems to be your current favourite?
Don't be snide with me, nephew.
Then what would you advise?
It's such a tedious discussion. Surely, even under Slubgob, you must have learned the most routine techniques.
I did, but...
But your training is still lacking, I am sure. All right. For that discussion, let us relocate.